I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the benefits of reciting Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it recompensates for the minor sin a person commits. For example, a person commits a minor sin. Due to the barakah, due to the blessings of reciting Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove those minor sins and grant good deeds in return of those. So we should try to make a habit of reciting as much salawat as we can upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through the means of this salutation, we remove our sins and gain good deeds. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome to the new program on Madani Channel. This program is known as the Deadly Sins, in which we will look at those sins which not only cause harm to a person's body but also his spirituality and his iman. Those sins which can be the cause of a bad end. Those sins which can cause a person to be thrown into the fire of hell. Those sins which can cause displeasure to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ultimately those sins which can result in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being angry with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the person in a very beautiful and unique form. And along with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed two attributes within a person. One of those attributes is known as the intellect, the aql. And the second attribute which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside a person is the quality of desires. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made groups to help each one of them. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a group which can help a person in increasing his intellect, in understanding what is around him more clearly. And the second is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created things which entice a person's desires, which make a person go towards more and more evil. The helpers of the first quality, the helpers of the first attribute, the helpers of the aql, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them in various shapes, forms, even as humans. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the prophets alayhim as-salam to guide the nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends holy scriptures to guide the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places pious people among us so that we may learn from them, so that we may follow their footsteps and be guided. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such things which entice a person's desires. For example, the biggest one is a person's nafs, his inner self. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the devil which misguides us, the devil which tricks us, the devil which puts thoughts into our heads. And thirdly, there are wicked, bad people around us, around our company, who tell us to do bad, who, because we are in the company of those people, we fall into sins. So the first thing, the first attribute and the first group of people, they guide a person towards the light. The nur of iman, the nur of hidayah, the nur of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the second type of group and the second attribute which Allah has placed in our body, which He has placed in the human beings, can cause a person to be thrown into the fire of hell. This is why they say that if a person, he has intellect and he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refrains from the evils of this world, then he gains a very high status. And if on the other hand, he follows his desires and he indulges himself in his lower self and he commits sins, then he is worse than animals as well. Why? Because animals have desire and they follow every single one of their desires. And if a human was to do the same thing, then he would be no better than an animal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Similarly, the first group of people, or the first attribute, and the people that follow them, are known as the obedient people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are known as the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and they are those people who are close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas the second people, they have been regarded as the disobedient, and in some cases the disbelievers, because of the extent of the sins that they commit. We have to realize that the effect of sins is not limited to only our hereafter. Meaning, if a person commits a sin and he does not repent upon it, then he will be held accountable for it in the hereafter. He may also be punished for it in the hereafter. But the effect of a sin is not limited to the hereafter. It can also affect a person physically in this world. Now, you might ask yourself, if a person is committing a sin, sometimes a sin is such that it cannot even be seen. Sometimes it is a sin which is linked to the heart. It is a sin which nobody can see. It is a sin that nobody can hear. It is a sin that nobody can speak of. You know about this. So how can this affect a person physically? The scholars have written, and it has been mentioned in various narrations as well, that a person who is adamant on committing sins, a person who commits sins, and certain sins, if a person commits, then that decreases the wealth of that person. It decreases the age of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes barakah from that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes blessings from that thing. You might ask yourself, I see people around me, they make a lot of money. They earn so much, but they are never fulfilled with this. They are never content with this. What is the reason for this? One of the reasons could be that the way you have earned that money, the way you have gone to earn that livelihood, is impermissible. That's why even when you have gained it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put the contentment in your heart. Secondly, a person who commits sins, his age decreases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes blessings from his age. He may feel like time is going very quick for that person. He may feel like he has to do a lot of things, but he is unable to do so. This is due to the blessings and the reduction in his age. Thirdly, when a person commits a lot of sins, by committing sins, as we established earlier, a person is in the book of disobedience. A person is away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is not in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then trials and tribulations befall that person. Then a person might have such accidents in his life that he may realize that I have done such and such a sin, and this is the punishment of such and such a sin. And due to a person being away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trials and tribulations fall to that person. Somebody might ask that the pious and the God-fearing people are also put in trial and tribulation. So how can a person differentiate between a trial and tribulation which is for the good and a trial and tribulation which is for the bad? And the scholars have written a very beautiful point in relation to this. They have said that that trial or tribulation which makes you closer to Allah, which takes you closer to the God, which takes you closer to the religion, that is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that trial and tribulation which takes you away from Allah, which takes you away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which takes you away from the religion, that is in fact a difficult moment for you. Why? Because sometimes a person has a rank in the state of, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only way to achieve this rank is if that person is inflicted with difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from difficulties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do a very beautiful dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiya. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiya. That, oh Allah, I ask you in relation to safeguarding, I ask you in relation to mercy. And this is a dua that we should also make a habit of reciting. Because we should not do dua for trials and tribulations because we might not be strong enough to handle them. But we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us and keep us in His mercy. Similarly, those sins which can affect a person's physical are such things that it may start to cloud the intellect. A person is committing sins, and due to the sin, his judgment is no longer there. He cannot differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. And this is a physical effect upon the body of a person. Similarly, a person who commits a sin, a black dot appears on his heart. When he commits another sin, another black dot appears on his heart. To the extent that he keeps committing sins and his whole heart becomes covered in black, to the extent no light of guidance enters it. And this is a very bad state. We should always Whenever we do something bad, first of all, we should try to refrain from doing that bad thing. But if as human beings we do fall into sins, then we should make tawbah straight away. We should not delay it. We should not delay our repentance, because we do not know that if we have that next moment to even live, we do not know that if I'm even going to go sleep, I do not know that if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Some people have the mindset that I will repent on the day of Friday. Which guarantee? Who has guaranteed us that we will live to Friday? Some people have the mindset that we will change in the month of Ramadan, or we will change at the end of the Ramadan. But who has guaranteed us that we will complete Ramadan? Similarly, people say that we will change after we have performed Hajj, after we have performed the Umrah. But how do we know we will even get to that stage? My dear brothers and the viewers of Pandit channel, we should be hastening towards doing tawbah. Whenever we do take a wrong step, we should accept that we have done wrong rather than justifying it, and we should return into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and He loves to forgive. Some people might think that we cannot be forgiven. Your sins are not greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives whoever He wills, as long as you do not do certain actions, which we will listen about in a short while. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, when a person commits sins, then modesty starts to leave him. Meaning he does not care what he is doing. He does not care about the extreme dirt that he is indulged in. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-hayaw min al-Iman, that modesty is from faith. And if a person keeps committing sins, he keeps indulging himself in wrong, then slowly modesty starts to leave him. And when a person becomes immodest, then he is not fearful of anybody. Then he does not care about anybody. He does not care about his surroundings. Similarly, a person who commits a lot of sins, people around him start to diverge from him. People around him start to turn away from him. They do not want to be in his company. They do not want to be around him. Why? Because firstly, they might fall into the same sin as he is falling. You may have seen it yourself that if there is a group of people who commit a certain sin, for example, they drink alcohol, and one person comes who does not drink alcohol, but he starts hanging around with them, he starts staying in their company, he spends his time with them. You must have seen it yourself. You might have seen it yourself that he becomes an alcoholic as well. He starts drinking alcohol himself. So those people with intellect, those people with understanding, they first of all cut the barrier between themselves and the bad people. Why? Because they know that if they hang around with him and they adopt his company, then they might fall into the same sin as him. And lastly, the biggest, you could say, curse, or the biggest problem or biggest downfall of committing sins is that a person's iman might be taken away from him due to this. A person might commit such a sin which has angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he is deprived from the ni'mah, from the blessing of iman at the time of death. My dear viewers, if a person has no iman, if a person has no faith in him, then his whole life has been wasted. When a person is put into the grave and they ask, Man Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, what is your religion, who is your Lord? And you are unable to answer those questions, my dear brothers and the viewers of Money Channel, that will be a very difficult time for you. And to comprehend the fact that if a person dies without iman, then he will burn in the fire of hell forever. This is something our minds cannot comprehend. For example, if you were to go to a desert, you were to pick up a grain of sand, you were to wait 1,000 years and to put it down, then wait 1,000 years before you pick the next one up, then wait 1,000 years before you put it down. Like this, if you moved all the sand of the desert from one side to the other side, the hereafter, the forever will not perish. The forever will not finish. It is something that we cannot comprehend. This is something that we cannot understand, because our brains, our intellect, our minds have been limited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is unlimited. And we cannot comprehend the concepts. But we need to know that if we do not take our iman with us from this world, then we will be in a very difficult state. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Considering a minor sin, minor will turn it into a major sin. So we have talked about sin generally, but now we will talk about the two categories of sin. The sin has been split into two categories. The first category is a minor sin, and the second category is a major sin. الصغيرة جنا and a كبيرة جنا. The صغيرة جنا, the small sins, they can be recompensated by a person if he recites namaz, if he prays namaz, if he fasts in the month of Ramadan, if he performs zakat, if he performs hajj. You know, good deeds generally, they remove minor sins from a person's account. Like it has been stated that when a person is performing wudu, with every limb that he washes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sins of that limb. So minor sins are forgiven through this way. However, major sins, kabira guna, they require tawbah. They require us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept the mistake we have made, be remorseful on that mistake we have made, and promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never do that again. Similarly, if a person considers a minor sin to be minor, he considers the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be nothing, then that minor sin changes into a major sin. Secondly, those actions which are in relation to people can only be forgiven if that person forgives you. So for example, if you have stolen money from somebody, now the only way you can be forgiven for that sin is if the person who you stole from forgives you and he does not demand for any money back. However, if he demands for that money back, then it is right upon you to pay him back as well. So there are two rights. One is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is the rights of people. The rights of the people are more severe than the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might ask, how is this possible? How can the rights of people be more severe than the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the reason for this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive a person due to his mercy, but Allah will not forgive a person until he has paid the rights of his Muslim brother. So if we have done wrong to somebody, we should ask for forgiveness from that person. And forgiveness alone is not enough. If we owe that person money, if we have damaged his goods, if we have caused him harm, then we must also repay for that as well. So considering the sins, if we have committed a sin which is in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then repentance itself is enough. However, if we have committed a sin against a person, then we must seek forgiveness from that person before we can move on with ourselves. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. Translation, if you avoid the major sins forbidden to you, we will absolve you of your lesser misdeeds and admit you into a place of honor. Now this ayat of the Holy Quran tells us many, many pieces of advice. The first is, if a person refrains from the major sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place such mercy on him that he will be able to abstain from the minor sins as well. Similarly, a sin, we might ask ourselves, what is a sin? A sin is that from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many ways to repent for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made repentance easy for us. Nadama, it is tawbah in itself. Tawbah is such a thing that a person does not have to express loudly. He can himself make the promise to himself and not do it again. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have generally overlooked the concept of sins. Remember, like we said, major sins and minor sins. Within the major sins, there are also two categories. Those which are extremely disliked. Even the major sins have ranks to each other. And the major sin that we will talk about today is shirk, is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that, shall I not inform you of the worst sin? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to his companions and said, shall I not inform you of the worst sin? And the companions radiallahu anhum replied, yes, ya Rasulullah, tell us about the worst sin, tell us which is the most dangerous sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, associating partners with Allah, ash-shirku billah. Meaning that you consider somebody else worthy of worship, whether that is a man, that is a stone, that is a star, that is a moon, that is the sun, that is a living object, that is a non-living object. Any of these things, if you consider to be worthy of worship except Allah, then this falls into associating partners with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive every sin except that you associate partners with Him. Meaning, a shirk, a person who commits associating partners with Allah and he dies on that state, then he has died as a disbeliever and there is no forgiveness for him in the hereafter. However, there are other sins if a person commits, he will be punished for it in the hereafter, but he will not remain in the fire of hell forever. Whereas a disbeliever, a person who commits this major sin, he will remain in the fire forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who protect ourselves from the major sins firstly and then the minor sins as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always have His mercy on us and protect us. Ameen.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all-hearing, all-knowing.